On a personal note, I mean, I probably get too personal sometimes with being on the show, but on a personal note, this is one of the most important guests that we have had on in a while. I'm so glad she wanted to come on. She was only on for 30 minutes last time. She's going to be on for an hour. There was a little mix up on time. I apologize. She's here. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to Rebecca Friedrichs. Let me give you a background. She has been a teacher for almost three decades. She's been involved in the union, out of the union. She's been involved in Supreme Court cases for teachers' rights to be a teacher and not have to join the union. You know, don't we have a right for free association? Don't we have a right to choose our destiny? Well, that's what she fought for. She was part of that. It led to another case where that was, decided in the Supreme Court. She is the founder of the group For Kids and Country, forkidsandcountry.org, which, is working towards education and helping solve and overcome really the problem that we're going to discuss and what is here right before us. Rebecca Friedrichs is, I barely know her, but she's a hero of mine already. And it's just a pleasure to have her on. Rebecca, welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's great to be here again.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, right before we went on, you like spilt water all over your page. Is everything okay over there?
Oh,
right?
I spilled it all over my desk, and of course it went under all my most important papers, so had to clear that up. So I apologize about that.
Okay, but we're good. We're good. You're good right now, right?
I am good, yeah.
Okay. Why don't you give, I gave a little background, why don't you give a little more detailed Reader's Digest version of who you are, kind of how you got involved in For Kids and Country?
Well, sure. I started teaching in 1988. In California public schools. But in 1987, I was a student teacher, and I was assigned to this incredible master teacher who really did a great job. Children left her first grade class reading, loving school. They were prepared. But next door to her, there was a teacher who was quite abusive to the children, and I would watch every day as she would grab these little six-year-olds and yank them and scream in their little faces. And she was just trying to line them up after lunch, so I couldn't imagine what was happening inside the classroom behind the closed door. I was 22. She terrified me. I couldn't imagine how terrified those little kids were. So I went to my master teacher and reported it to her because I was learning about how to report, to become a mandated reporter as a teacher of child abuse. So, and I believed this was child abuse. And so my master teacher sat me down that day and she basically said, Rebecca, today's the day you learn about teachers' unions and teacher tenure. And she taught me that many districts had teachers like this one next door and were unable to get rid of them and do what was right for the children because the teachers' union would defend these folks. Sure enough, I watched my whole career as that very teacher kept her job until she chose to retire. And I watched many others do the exact same thing. And I spoke to many administrators within my district and without, and they all told me the same thing. Oh, we're so frustrated with these teachers. We try to get rid of them. The union sticks up for them, and we can't get rid of them in most cases. So that was what started my journey. When I became a teacher, I watched in horror as my union fought vehemently with hundreds of millions of dollars of teacher dues against school choice, against everything that I thought was right for little kids and right for families and right for teachers. I watched as my union fought against. So I eventually became a union leader in my local. I served in the on the executive board as the secretary. And what I discovered there was that even when you're a union leader, you are voiceless within the union unless you decide you want to toe the line of the union. If you do exactly what they want you to do, if you stand against school choice, if you stand for divisive angry rhetoric, if you go out and march for sanctuary cities and to abolish ICE and all these things that the unions do, then you're okay. But if you dare to stand up and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute, you're out of your jurisdiction, your union, you're just supposed to help me with, you know, wages and getting a break at lunchtime, and I don't want to be involved in all this politics, then you're bullied, you're shouted down, you're treated really like, you know, some kind of a wicked stepmother or something.
Let me interject and ask a couple questions, maybe just clarify. When do you, obviously in the late 80s you came in, obviously it was going on before you got there. Do you have a sense of when teachers union changed from a, you know, a teachers advocate association into a very, very powerful political arm?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I write about this in my book, Standing Up to Goliath. In the mid-1800s is when the National Education Association was started by a group of about 100 loving teachers. And these teachers, their main goal was to support children in learning Judeo-Christian virtues so that they could be good citizens, patriotic citizens. They used to write these little booklets, and I have several copies from a retired teacher who sent them to me. And these little booklets are full of scripture. They're full of stories of heroism and patriotism. And the teachers' union, the NEA, would print these for a penny a piece, and the goal was for all teachers to memorize them and to get all their students to memorize them and use them in class, beginning with a morning prayer and everything, and this was their goal. But in the about the turn of the century into 1900, the unions started their push to try to get inside of basically all of the major unions, government unions in the country. And it's about in the 1950s that they were really able to get their break in and start to take over these unions. The teachers that I interviewed, it was in the 60s and 70s when they started getting a ton of pressure to join these unions. It always had to be 100%. I have stories in my book of teachers who were, I mean, bullied mercilessly if they dared not to join. One of them was called a rotten apple, you know, big picture put up in the teacher's lounge to put her down and to make sure everyone knew she was horrible because she didn't join, things like that. So the 60s and 70s is when they bullied teachers into submission and really usurped teacher values and teacher authority, and it's only gotten worse since.
Now, Jimmy Hoffa, people are familiar with that name, the rackets, the Teamsters, what have you, and we know, or certain people have come out, and the connection with even communism in the unions, how they infiltrated, use influence to, control, for lack of a better word. We've seen that in Teamsters unions. Okay, what you're describing, it sounds like Jimmy Hoffa is running the teachers union too.
I do not have any evidence of that, but it is for certain that the state and national teachers unions are definitely 100% pushing right now. They're calling it a socialist agenda. But when you look at all of the posters that they've created for use in classrooms, you see that fist going up, that communist
Ooh.
Fist. They have very much a communist look about them, and they are definitely, for sure, coming into our schools and undermining our free republic, undermining our traditional American values and virtues, undermining parental authority, dividing people. And that's what happens when you have some kind of an angry regime take over. So they're definitely part of that whole.
It definitely
problem.
Appears to be. I mean, whether you can't quite put your finger on it, sure, the evidence certainly points to that. I'm going to refer you to the beginning of the broadcast. We had a news story. The title of the news story is What Millennials Are Saying About the New American Value System. Quote, it's really difficult to be a proud American. And the article goes in to talk about traditional American values. Traditionally, my uncle was on, you know, when he was a child in the 50s and 60s, these were the values: hard work, family, religion, and patriotism. Those were, if you're going to say, what are the four American values? I would say that those were or are the four traditional American values: hard work, family, religion, and patriotism. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree. They're part of them. Absolutely.
Okay. So,
and I would also say that the teachers' unions are attacking all four.
Okay. So this article goes on to do research about the millennial generation, saying how these four traditional main values, this is the study that they did, those were the four main values of, you know, America of 50 years ago. Only one of them, hard work, has a majority place in the millennials. Family, religion, and patriotism are not core majority values for the millennial generation. That scares me to death. Because we promote what we value. And so
right.
I have, this is why I'm on my soapbox and adamant about schools that basically the destruction of our society, the destruction of our values is coming from our government slash public school system. And is that too hard of a statement? Am I out of my mind here?
That is not too hard of a statement. It is true. The one thing I would add to that is, because a lot of teachers, they'll hear someone say something like that, and then the teachers will get on the defense and
defensive,
say, like, hey, wait a
right.
minute, I'm not doing that in my classroom. So it's really important to separate teachers from teachers' unions. So, yes, the state and national teachers' unions have a very angry, divisive agenda. They are definitely attacking patriotism, family, religion, and I would even add hard work. We'll talk about it in a minute. But teachers themselves, most teachers, still value all four of those virtues. And so that's where it gets really confusing, is teachers don't realize that it's their union that's creating so many problems in our schools and our culture. They think their union is their savior, protecting them from all the whoever's are out there attacking them. They think it's the legislature. What they don't realize is it is often the legislature, but it's legislators who've been funded by the teachers' union and bullied by the teachers' union. So teachers haven't really connected the dots yet, and we need to help them do that.
We're talking.
I want to alert. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna name tag you. We're talking to Rebecca Friedrich. The organization is for kidsincountry.org. Her book is Standing Up to Goliath. That's who we're talking to. This is a very important interview. Go on, Rebecca.
Yeah, I was just gonna alert you, because of your concern about the attacks on family and religion, and I agree with you 100%, the teachers' unions are really pushing for something called community schools.
Mm-hmm.
Community schools. We have a
sounds
lot of them
so
here
benign.
In California.
It sounds so happy and benign, doesn't it?
It does. And what the teachers' unions do, and listeners need to understand, most teachers are the most loving, caring individuals. And the teachers' unions understand that. So what they do is they come up with these very cool, this very clever messaging, very clever names for everything they do, and they're all loving names. And then they convince the teachers, oh, we're going to do these loving things for the kids. But what's really going on is an agenda to undermine parents, to undermine teachers, to undermine our virtues. So community schools, teachers think they're great because, oh, these poor kids come into community schools. We give them all the medical they need. We get them glasses if they need glasses. We do everything for them. But these community schools are seeking to be open 24/7, feed the family, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow.
They really want to take place of the church. Things that were the job
church.
Of the church.
Sounds like the family. They want to take the place of the family, not just
they
the church,
want
the family.
Take place of the family. That's right. They want to be the center of the community, which church used to be, and they want to take over for the family, for sure.
Right.
And teachers don't see that. They think, oh, you're wild-eyed if you say that. But all you have to do is dig into what they're doing through these schools. They've gained unfettered access to children through teachers and through these types of schools. And it really is frightening.
Well, I've, you know, we said that we were talking about a medical question or medical news story, and I've said this many times. If whoever takes the responsibility, they have the power. Like in my family with my children, I'm responsible for them. I have power over them. In government, if they're responsible for these children now, basically is what you're saying, they're taking total responsibility for them. Now they have power and control over them. That's my concern.
What a lot of parents don't realize, now I don't know the ed code in every single state. I live in California. I realize California is the tip of the spear on a lot of these things.
You know, most of America thinks that you guys are out of your mind, right?
here's what most of America needs to know. Most Californians are loving, caring people who are horrified by what's going on in our state. But the teachers' unions, the California Teachers Association, the California Federation of Teachers, the California Faculty Association, they run our state. CTA brags that it's the fourth
What's CTA?
Branch of the government.
What's CTA?
CTA is California Teachers Association. They literally run our state. They have a two-thirds majority in our legislature. Unfortunately, Democrats have decided to put teachers' unions above their constituents. So what's happening in our state, many of us are horrified. The reason so many people are leaving the state of California is because they can't take it anymore. They don't like the policies here. Many of us are hanging on, hoping we can change it. I think last time we talked, we discussed this sex ed that's here in California, which is really horrific. It did not start here. It started at the United Nations, been going on about 20 years. It's been in other states. It hit Massachusetts first. But California is the first state that has a law forcing this sex ed. What we're discovering as we fight this sex ed, hundreds of thousands of parents are rising up to fight this. And our legislature just keeps passing it. They passed a new health framework. The education committee or whoever was in charge of passing the framework, I can't remember. But they passed it unanimously, even though thousands of parents picketed against it, wrote letters against it, spoke in person against it, and only less than 10 people spoke in favor of it. So they have taken complete authority and undermined our authority. We've discovered through our education codes that parents do not have rights in our public schools, that the public schools have the right to teach whatever curriculum they want to teach, whatever's best for them. And the parents don't have many rights.
Let me stop you real quick, because I did want to get into this, and I guess we're going to get into it now, but we got about 4 minutes before the break, and I want to go into this a lot after the break. Let's pause what you said right there. Okay, I just listened to you tell me that comprehensive sex education is now quote-unquote law in California, is being shoved down people's throats. The parents are not even considered parents in the school. They do not have rights. The school has more rights than the parents as far as the education in the school. Everything you're telling me many people are leaving. You're telling me that there's a lot of people rising up that are hanging on. You're telling me that the legislature, the boards, the educational congregations, whatever you want to call them, they don't listen to any of the voices at all. They're going for this. Everything you just told me in my mind as I'm listening to you, probably a lot of our audience is thinking, well, how in the world are you? I mean, there is no fixing this. It seems like the only thing to do is to get away from it. There is no fixing it. That's what comes to my mind, and probably a lot of people listening.
I think we can fix it. Let's talk about that in a second. Fantastic.
I mean, great. We got 2 minutes before the break. I wanted to go back on something you said earlier. My great grandmother, I was lucky enough to know her very well. She was born in the 1890s. She would tell me that when they were going to school, they had McGuffey Reader, and that was Bible stories.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
told me
mm-hmm.
about the teachers' union, you know, these Judeo-Christian value stories, there's a book, 5,000 Year Leap, written by Cleon Skousen, talking about the founding fathers, how they wanted morality taught in school, which is a loosely based religious. I mean, these were religious ideas. They were just more neutral. They weren't like the Baptist ideas, but they were certainly Christian neutral, without question.
They were virtues.
Exactly.
Virtues. And I'd love to talk about that after the break. I have a full set of McGuffey readers. I would love to talk about McGuffey. That would be
wonderful. Well, the question I have, okay, the question we got 1 minute and a half about. The question I have for you, where in the world do people get the sentiment that, well, the Constitution says that we can't have prayer in school and talk about all this, where when for 100 plus years in America, that's all they did at school? I don't, how can people have that idea?
Yeah, well, that's a lie. They're believing a lie. And the teachers' unions are behind that lie, too. It'll take more than a minute to describe it. You want me to describe it after the half?
Rebecca, I think so highly of you. Why don't you talk about whatever you want for a minute and a half?
Thank you. Okay, thanks. I'll do my best. All right, so here's what happened. The words separation of church and state are not in the Constitution.
Bingo.
People believe they are in the Constitution. I have heard radio hosts and television
hosts. The schools
hosts,
teach them.
I was told my whole career, you can't talk about this, that, or the other thing because of separation of church and state. Let's get this straight. The words separation of church and state were penned in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists, who were a group of ministers. They were concerned that their rights, their religious rights, were going to be overpowered by the state. And Jefferson was assuring them, absolutely not, your rights will never be overpowered by the state because of this separation of church and state. And so it was in his letter. So that letter has been quoted in some Supreme Court decisions and used to cause this complete misunderstanding that that you can't talk about Judeo-Christian virtues in our school system. It's a complete, I would say misunderstanding, except I believe it was done on purpose by those who wanted those virtues removed from our schools. You are correct that our founders wanted those virtues in the schools. They said that the only way to keep a free republic was to have a moral and well-educated citizenry.
Bingo. Thomas Jefferson was actually protecting religious ideas by that, by saying
that.
It was it's the total opposite. Anyway,
exactly.
There's the music. Rebecca Friedrichs, forgottencountry.org is the website. Standing Up to Goliath is the book. Wow. 30 more minutes with her. Fantastic. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams Probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as bio-superfood. I've taken bio-superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
It's been a while since we've had Dr. Robert Abel on. He's going to come on later this week. We're going to talk about, of course, iComplex CS. More and more young people especially are needing glasses, too much screen time, and I know it's affected me. I spend a lot of time on the computer, what have you. That eye complex works amazing. And it's one of those things which I love these type of products. You can take it for a little while and you have certain indicators where you can say, oh wow, things are improving or this or that. And little techniques where you can see what it's doing for you. And then you know it's working. And very good. Dr. Abel will be on eye complex CS course at the Power Mall. Mark Botello, we didn't talk a lot about magnesium oil and Miracle 2 soap. Although we ended up talking about other very interesting things. Magnesium oil. If you're not getting magnesium into your system from products at the Power Mall, where are you getting them from? Want to tell a quick story. Two people contacted me this weekend, or actually the end of last week and the weekend. One of them was diagnosed with, now I'm just telling their story. This is not medical advice. I'm telling you their experience as they're relating to me. One of them was diagnosed with osteoporosis, and, you know, they were very concerned. The doctor wanted them to take that shot, that Prolio or whatever it is. They heard Dr. Sherry Rogers talk about it, and this person made the decision, that's it, I'm not getting that. They purchased several things from the Power Mall. Heart Drops are one of them, and Mother Earth Minerals was a big part of the other one, magnesium and calcium. So they started to really pound the magnesium and the calcium. Well, this has been 2-3 months, probably, 2-3 months that they've been on this pretty heavy on the magnesium and the calcium from Mother Earth Minerals, which I highly, highly recommend. And they just went to their doctor, and now they do not have osteoporosis anymore. The doctor's kind of like, they do not have osteoporosis. It went down. If you know anything about the levels, the osteoporosis down the penis. So she's going down in this on the scale, you know, what she has now. Fantastic. I've had a lot of health problems in my life, and that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this show and the guests that we have in the Power Mall. Okay. Another quick story. Heart Drops. Another, individual had a stroke about 6-7 years ago. And since that point, have had not one time going to the doctor on blood pressure medicine, not once have had a normal blood pressure. Not once. And the doctor, of course, keeps him on the medicine, whatever. Again, about 2 or 3 months ago, started on heart drops, taking them pretty regularly. And last month, blood pressure was normal. Just went to the doctor again last week, wanted to tell me, again, blood pressure is normal. Both people, they told me, this is their experience, all they can attribute the change to and what they've seen is all the products at the Power Mall. This stuff changes lives over and over and over and over again. We have seen it and the knowledge that we have. And that's, thank you so much for your support of it. You need this. And you need this support for you and for your health. Really, I want you happy, healthy, successful, and free, just as God intended you to be. So the magnesium oil, the Miracle 2 soap, of course, Strauss Heart Drops, REM Sleep, the iComplex CS, all on sale at the Power Mall. Please support the good guys. Buy from the good guys. You see the article about Amazon, 4,000 plus something products are fake on Amazon that some study did. That's just what they could find. Really, buy from the good guys. All our products guaranteed to be the good source and from the manufacturer as they're intended. So thank you so much for your support, ladies and gentlemen. We're here because you're here, your energy, and be able to provide people like Rebecca for you to listen to. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Getting back to Rebecca, for kidsincountry.org, it's her website, her organization. I love that. For our children, for our country, and these ideals, the Declaration of Independence, there's nothing like it in all the world. And this is, it's worth more than our lives, ladies and gentlemen. And our schools are undermining it. And our schools are changing people's values. We just read the story from Fox News. We know this. Rebecca is telling you this. Her book, Standing Up to Goliath. Another thing I understand and I sympathize with, and I just, my heart reaches out to you, but I will not stop saying this, that something needs to be done, some alternative, some change, something in our school system, because our children are lambs to the slaughter right now. And what is being sacrificed is their consciousness, their mind, their hearts, their future, their value systems. This is what is being sacrificed. And Rebecca is telling you in pretty good detail, and we'll continue this more, about that process and what has gone on. So please support Rebecca and pray for Rebecca and pray for all the parents who want to change, who want to do something. And the other parents who don't care, pray that their minds can be open. Look, with our energy, with our consciousness, our desire here, we can do anything. And let's go towards freedom and towards truth. And, you know, if it's good enough for my great-grandmother, it's certainly good enough for us today. So getting back to you, Rebecca, obviously there's a lot of places I want to go. I'm going to put your feet to the fire a little bit here, just get your comment, and then we'll move on from it. But this is the same discussion I have about the police. We see so many organizations, offices, where the police are overstepping their constitutional bounds. They're literally breaking the law. They say, well, you know, it's a tough job. We got to do it. And they're stealing money with the civil asset forfeiture, totally unconstitutional things. And their excuse, or what people say, is, well, they're just doing their job. And I know there are a ton of excellent, fantastic, salt of the earth police out there. But yet the system is still so overpowering, they become part of it and they're helping it. It's very similar to me with teachers, because somebody is presenting to these children this socialistic ideas, comprehensive sex education, giving them condoms in class. Somebody's doing it, and at the end it's the teachers, no matter what they believe, they're supporting this. So what would you say to that?
You know, there's a lot to unpack there, but the first thing I would say is I also know a whole bunch of great police officers who agree with us and who quietly stand behind what I'm doing. Police are unionized. Teachers are unionized. Every government agency in this country, well, almost every government agency, is unionized. Unions are the problem. So, you'll talk to cops who are frustrated with what's going on. It's because they don't truly have a voice. As far as teachers, you said it's teachers who are teaching these condom relay races and things. Well, not really. So wonderful, loving teachers, most are wonderful and loving, would never teach these horrific sex ed lessons. They're terrified. They're pushing back. The problem is they don't know that it's their union that pushed for these laws and these curriculums and works alongside with ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center and Planned Parenthood to push this stuff into our schools. So what happens is the unions and their friends are very clever, very deceptive, and so they write the laws in a ways that tie the hands of the teachers. For example, here in California, the California Healthy Youth Act, which is the law that allows this sex ed to be pushed, has a part in it where it states that if the teacher is not qualified to teach this topic, then the experts are brought in. Mm-hmm. And the experts come from Planned Parenthood and places like that. So what happens is you have all these teachers, and this is you talked about the church, and you talked about people of faith. People of faith are the answer to this nightmare, because when you have a teacher who's a person of faith, who knows that it's wrong to sexualize a little child, it's wrong to bring up these topics, you know, in school. It's not our place. It's overstepping our bounds. We're supposed to be teaching the three R's. We're not supposed to be teaching little kids to have multiple partners and all this other stuff. It's none of our business. That's a family responsibility.
Well, it's child abuse. Right. Well, Rebecca, it's you're talking about prepubescent child. I mean, much less a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, and 5-year-old. You're bringing up these kind of things. This is child abuse.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And most teachers agree. But what happens is they start to push back, and they discover quickly that
who you mean the you teachers who put
oh,
you mean
yeah,
the teachers,
the teachers
or
themselves.
The or the parents or
the
both.
The parents are outraged. The parents are pushing back. But many, many teachers are pushing back, saying, "Hey, whoa, wait! The whole reason the parents in California are pushing back is because one teacher reached out and said, hey, wait a minute, they trained me to do this. She reached out to me, and we started blasting it out in our area, and parents were like, what the heck? So it was being snuck in, and it was a teacher who alerted everybody. So these teachers care, but they get to this place where they're told, you either have to teach this or you have to sit by and let the experts come in and teach it. So teachers are in a moral dilemma. They know it's wrong no matter what. They don't want to sit by and let kids be abused. So this is something we can use to help teachers to understand the depth of the problem with their unions. You asked me earlier if there was a solution. I believe there is.
Right, please enlighten me.
So we started...
Because I'm just getting... Because really, listening to you, I'm just getting madder and madder and madder. But
yes,
I don't see the solution. Anyway, go
of
ahead.
Of course. Of course you're madder. You should be. That's exactly how I felt, and that's the whole reason I wrote the book Standing Up to Goliath. So that book is a compilation of about 50 different testimonies, mostly brave teachers from around this country who are putting it all on the line, telling people what's really going on with inside these unions and inside our schools. There's 3 chapters on the sex ed alone, but there's also, we expose that the unions are the ones who are behind all these horrible discipline policies that are turning our schools into war zones. They are behind...
What do you mean by that? I don't understand that. What do you mean?
Well, the teachers' unions are the ones that are supporting the policies and the leaders who push these policies, like President Obama and his Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, and folks all the way down the line who are supported by the unions. Their discipline policies are, they call them racial equity discipline policies. They've literally tied our hands. We have to suddenly have less suspensions, a lot less suspensions. And it's not based on, oh, kids aren't disobeying. It's based on, oh, that kid has a certain color of skin, so now you can't suspend him or her. And so what's happened is, happened in my classroom, teachers who were always able to control the classroom and do a good job teaching are no longer able to control the classroom. I would send children out for disruptive behavior. They'd be back in 5 minutes with a note that said, Mrs. Friedrichs, I'm sorry, and then they'd do the same exact thing. And I send them out
okay,
and they come back. No discipline.
Right. Now, Rebecca, I'm not going to... I'm not undermining what you're saying because, believe me, I'm with you. I am one of your biggest advocates I could possibly be for everything you're doing, for your book, for everything. Everything you're telling me is all I see are socialists and half communists, and now colleges are the same thing. All I see is a whole system that is undermining American values, turning out socialists, turning out breaking up of families, immoral or amoral socialists. That's all I see. That's all I see coming out of these schools. And it's a miracle, or it's just happenstance, or the family is just so strong, or the individual children are just so strong and so grounded is the only thing that keeps them from being that in these school systems. I do not see any way on God's green earth I would ever put my child into the situation that you have described.
Good for you. So that's part of the solution. So there's two solutions, in my opinion.
Am I wrong?
No. I would not have my children in the public school system right now if my kids are grown. But I would not. No. And the problem is most teachers think, oh, well, everything's safe in my classroom, so everything's good. I'm not doing this to the kids. But they don't realize that the unions have been planting activist teachers in every school across the country for decades. And so these kids will run across eventually teachers.
All right, pause right there. We only have in a couple months, 3 months, whatever, please come on again. We're getting different areas every time. We're kind of running out of time here. Let me be clear, or please elucidate me on this. Okay, talking to my uncle, who's a pastor, and he also does substitute school teaching in this school district. So we start talking about these things, and I told him about what you said in California. Hey, in California right now, they're teaching five-year-olds to question their gender, that their mothers assigned them that's not really their gender.
Yep,
they're teaching 10 and 11-year-olds have condom relay races, et cetera. This is right now. This is not future. This is right now in school.
That's right.
And his response was, wow, that's terrible, but we don't see that here. And I'm trying to get across to him, look, they might not be having condoms and dildos in the class, but they're teaching your children that there's too many people on earth. They're teaching them to be socialists. They're teaching them they're seeing it. So what should I tell my uncle when he says, well, we're not seeing it here?
You need to give your uncle a copy of Standing Up to Goliath. So let me go back to that because you asked about solutions. The whole reason I wrote Standing Up to Goliath and the whole reason 50 different teachers and a few parents took the risk to tell their stories, their testimonies, to expose what's going on within the unions, is in the hope that pastors in particular, teachers and loving parents across the country would read this book and have their eyes opened and realize that, oh my goodness, this is not just happening in California. It's happening all over the country. The teachers in the book are from all different states. The state of Ohio has been involved in this for a very long time, the teachers' unions. The union, this is being pushed by the state and national unions. That's every state. That's not just California. And they're pushing it at the United Nations.
Where are they getting, that's what I was going to ask you. Can make that connection so people understand. They're getting, is this the United Nations is basically dictating CSE, comprehensive sex education for the world, and then that's filtering down. How in the world does that filter down to the classroom in California? Or Ohio? Or wherever? It doesn't matter.
That's a huge question. And in a lot of ways, there are multiple huge organizations that are involved with this. But the reason I focus on the teachers' unions is because the teachers' unions are collecting about $5 billion a year from teachers, from educators, tax-free every year. And they have gained unfettered access to America's children through teachers. So solution number one, and I'm talking teachers of faith is where we start. We started a campaign called Adopt a Teacher. Adopt a Teacher is simple. You can go to our website for kidsandcountry.org,
click
up at the menu item, Adopt a Teacher, and they can see a little flyer. It takes less than 3 minutes to read it. Adopt a Teacher has six parts, six E's. There, I'll start with E. Embrace a teacher. Educate that teacher. Hand them a copy of Standing Up to Goliath, because teachers have been lied to on so many levels by the union. If you try to say, well, this is what's going on, they'll come back with but, because they've been lied to so much. This book addresses every lie teachers have been told through story and opens their eyes and opens parents' eyes. And then once you've embraced them and educated them, now you empower them and help them to get out of the unions. You mentioned that we took a case to the United States Supreme Court. Well, for almost 50 years, all teachers were forced to fund unions. Most have no idea that last year they were freed from that. They don't have to pay them anymore. So one solution is we adopt every teacher we know. We get this book into their hands, educate them, stand with them. They can't do it alone. They're terrified. They're bullied by the unions. We give them, empower them to opt out of the unions. Eventually, if we can get a high enough number of teachers opting out, those teachers can stand together and completely decertify these unions and get them out of our schools. That's what we need. We need all
can
the
this,
state and national
can,
unions.
Let me pause. Pause. Can this happen at a I don't know what they're broken down to in every state. This school board, a school district. Does this have to be a whole statewide, or can it be
district by district? District
okay.
By district.
So that's
yeah.
very good.
So
okay.
Each district has its own union, but the problem is, I call it the unholy trinity. That district union, that local, is connected to the state and national, and it is a legal connection. So teachers have to stand, 51% of them can vote to decertify it, get rid of it.
Wow.
And then they can create their own local professional association. They can still have their cake and eat it too, but they don't have to fund all this politics and be a part.
This
is great. Teachers truly right now, whether teachers know it or not, right now they are complicit for everything that's happening to us.
That's what I tried. That's what I tried to say earlier.
Yeah.
No matter how well-meaning they are, they're complicit in this.
They are, because they're funding it. Now, if they don't know, then what can you do about it? But once you educate them, that's why I wrote the book. Educate them and they learn the truth. I wrote this book. I understand teachers. I've been a teacher my whole life. I wrote it in a way that will grab the hearts of teachers, help them
I love
see.
It. I love it. What's the name?
Yeah.
Can they go to your website, For Kids in Country,
yeah.
and get this book?
Yes,
okay.
forkidsincountry.org.
I'm going to adopt a teacher. The Power Hour is going to adopt a teacher. We're going to find
Excellent.
Somebody.
Excellent.
We're going to adopt a teacher.
Pastors are so key, because if pastors...
Where are they? I'm talking over you. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. Where in the freak are the churches on this?
Well, the
they should be screaming.
So here's the good news. Here in California, because of the sex ed, because it's so unbelievably bad, I mean, I've been trying to get people's attention for 30 years about the unions. Nobody would listen, or very few would listen. As soon as the sex ed hit... We have many churches here in Orange County, California,
well, that's good news.
Who are fighting
Great.
Hard, and the pastors are fighting.
Fighting how? Fighting how? Fighting
oh,
how?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We had one pastor who made a documentary, and they did an undercover video and caught ACLU teaching school districts how to teach this sex ed to kids.
Do you have that video?
I could get it to you, sure.
Yes.
They are holding, I have spoken at multiple events. I just spoke this last week at an event that was hosted by a pastor and a local community member. And we were talking about the sex ed. I'm all over the place in California speaking about this. And there's a lot of pastors standing up. However, there are a lot who are not.
Okay.
And we need every pastor. We need all hands on deck, because it is coming to a neighborhood school near you.
All right, I'm going to give you a story. You got 2 or 3 minutes, and I apologize for cutting you off so much here in the end, but I value every word that everything I can get out of you is so important to me. I'm going to tell you a story, your reaction. Okay. And this happened within the last 6 months, a high Muslim populated community in Britain, in the school district. In that district, they were teaching the CSE, kind of what you're saying, all kind of things. The parents, of course, Muslims are very much against these type of things, much like Christians are. They went to the school board and they said, we want you to stop teaching this, or we're going to take our children out. They said, we don't care. We don't give a darn. We're teaching it. We don't care. So the parents of 600 children got together. And they said, that's it. That's the last day you will go to school this ever taught. They brought them all out of school.
Good for them.
They started picketing,
them.
Whatever. And then the school district flipped and said, okay, we'll stop teaching it because it's butts in seats. So you talk about, to me, you know, obviously teachers getting together and breaking this union. I mean, you're talking, I mean, you might as well, you talk about moving a mountain. I mean,
yep,
that's
it's
a
huge.
Mountain.
It's huge.
Yes. To me, why isn't these pastors, the message they should be saying, you tell me if I'm wrong, they should be saying, hey, not only are we going to support these teachers who don't like this, the few that we can find who are aware of this, we're not going to let them get run over. We're going to tell all our congregation to bring every one of their children out of these schools until this is stopped. Every one of you, get out of these damn schools until this is stopped. We will not let our children be taught these damnable, abominable things in our school. Why are the pastors, why shouldn't they say that, and why aren't they saying that?
I just heard a pastor say that 2 days ago.
And so fantastic. What's his name? I want him on this show.
I'll send it to you. I'll let you talk to him. But he very passionately stated that parents should homeschool. And so, and I agree with him. If a school system's going to abuse your child, of course, you should homeschool.
They are abusing. Is that so not going? They are. They are, Rebecca. They are.
Yeah, that's right. So
it doesn't matter if it's Missouri. It doesn't matter if it's rural Missouri or L.A. County, California. They're abusing and misleading and lying to your children and taking their inheritance and ripping God away from them and who they are. That's what's happening in our school system. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right. And so here's the deal. Unfortunately, a lot of families, Christian families included, bought the lie that they had to put their kids in schools and mom had to go to work and, you know, they bought all of that. So if our families can stand up and be families again and take care of our kids, you're right. We could make a powerful difference.
Rebecca, there's the music. I so value you and what you have done. I want to honor you, and I hope I haven't come across belligerent towards you or confrontational.
You're passionate. You care about children, as we all should.
For kidsandcountry.org is the website, Standing Up to Goliath. Ladies and gentlemen, get the book. Give it to a teacher. A teacher can be a lot of influence. You know how you can influence your family? Get them out of school. That's how you can influence your family and your destiny. God bless you, Rebecca. Rebecca, give me like 5 minutes and I'm going to call you right back. Love you. God bless.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.